Thank you, Father, for your word. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you will quicken this word to us. And Lord, you know what each individual needs. And Lord, let this word resonate as you choose and bring forth a mighty harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. We were speaking in the prayer meeting a few Wednesdays ago, about waiting. And waiting is not something that this generation does, as you can see. This generation is a restless generation. They don't wait. In fact, we've become an instant society. I think it was yesterday, Andrew was on the internet, and there was something, I think, was it Facebook? And there was some big employer talking about the problems of this current generation. And he was saying that from children born from the mid-1980s to present day are known as the millennial generation, but also the other name for them is the instant generation. It's, if I can't have it now, then I'm going to kick and fuss and I'm going to find the shortest way to get what I want. I'm not going to wait. But you know, there's something about waiting that is crucial in our lives and in the way that God works. When we wait for something, there's a process going on, and it's a process of maturity. And that's why this young generation is missing something very great in their instantaneous world. Because if you know about a good wine has to, the longer it matures, the better it is. The older it is, the better it is. And so maturity is a process. It's not something that will happen instantly. Because you will not get perseverance, maturity, and strength of character unless we learn to wait. Now, waiting is not a thing that we do or that we necessarily like doing. But God's methods remain the same. He doesn't change. And good things are worth waiting for. You ask Joseph. He waited and waited, but he never let go of the promise. He never let go of what God had said to him. And David in Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited for God. And that's what it seems like when you're waiting. It just seems you're never going to get breakthrough. And then he says in the message, at last, God looked, and then he listened, and then he answered. Wow, was it exciting for David? It certainly was. At that point, it was definitely worth the wait, because he got the best. And in Romans 8 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, but if we look to something that we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. So that's the way we wait, patiently and confidently. I always remember, I don't know if you've read, it's an old book, Yonggi Cho's book, Fourth Dimension. And he talks in that book about how he was pregnant with promise. And his congregation looked at him crazy. You're a man, you can't be pregnant. He says, I am pregnant with promise. He says, because God has given me a promise and it's working inside of me. It's growing bigger and bigger like a pregnant woman. I am growing with anticipation. I am growing with expectancy. I am growing with excitement because I know God will fulfill his promise. And, you know, God does not want us to just drift through life. Drifting is no good. When we come to Jesus, we have to have a plan. God has a plan for your life. All you three, God has a plan for you. And God wants to take you on a journey to fulfill that plan, because it is a good plan and it's an exciting plan. The Word of God says, without a vision, the people perish. It's vital that we get into God's plan and know the vision that he has for every one of us. It doesn't matter what age we are. God is still giving me new visions, still giving me new promises, still saying to me, Grace, you're going to see this and you're going to see that. And I get more excited every time I read the Word of God, because he tells me something new. He's filling me with vision, with hope, with expectancy. And it's all happening inside of me. God, 25 years ago, promised us this place. Ah, that seemed a long wait. And I thank God, because Helen never gave up on that wait. She always knew that she knew that she knew God would do what he said. Although we couldn't find the building, we knew God would do what he said. And it took 25 years. But he did it. Here we are. And many times God has said, I'll fill this place. Not what you're going to do, it's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to fill it. And this is not just a one-off. I've got recorded on prophecies given to us 4 times that God said, I will fill this place. And he will fill it. I don't have a shadow of a doubt about that. He will fill it. When he says something twice, it will surely happen. That's what Joseph said to Pharaoh. God has given you 2 dreams, and the reason he's given you 2 dreams is that that's confirmation that it will definitely happen. So, you know, you might think if somebody gives you 1 word of prophecy, well, might be a bit iffy. But when somebody along comes and confirms it, it's, listen up, girl, this is going to really happen. Now, get expectant, get pregnant with promise. Amen? It's what God wants. And when I was thinking about this, I'm not one for poetry, but this little ditty came to me. He didn't bring us here to die, he brought us here to multiply. Amen? Can we all keep singing that? He didn't bring us here to die, he brought us here to multiply. God is a God of multiplication. That is in nature. When he formed creation, what did he say when he finished? Be fruitful and multiply. Amen? What happened? The Israelites, when they were in captivity in Egypt, what happened to them? They multiplied. Don't be afraid of me. They multiplied. Amen? They became too big for the Egyptians. The Egyptians got afraid of them. Said, we're going to have to do something to stop these multiplying. But they couldn't stop God. They multiplied. What happened to Isaac? He sowed in famine. It looked the worst time, the most stupid time to sow. But he knew God said he'd taken him there, and he said, you sow. And he sowed in famine. And he reaped 1,000-fold. Why? Because God is a God of multiplication. And he didn't bring us here to die. He brought us here to multiply. Amen? So what's the purpose of waiting? We are enlarged in the waiting, as a pregnant woman is enlarged as she waits. And I haven't been pregnant, but I must, if I ever had been, I think I would have been absolutely bursting with excitement to see what this beautiful baby was going to be like. I would be filled with expectancy and joy and excitement. And that's how God wants us to be spiritually. It's the growth process that God wants to take us through. He wants us to get to that point of eagerly and expectantly waiting for God. And I just want to read a few verses. It'll be in the message from Romans chapter 8, from verse 24 to 28. It says, waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. Indeed, we are enlarged in the waiting. We of course don't see what's enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy. And I just think this is beautiful. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside us, helping us along. if we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. For he knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition. He keeps us ever present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. We can't fail. When we get tired, the Spirit of God comes alongside and takes up our wordless groans and puts them into prayers, shapes them into prayers before the throne. And he's interceding for us so that we get breakthrough. So don't be feeling guilty if you get tired and you feel like quitting, because the Spirit of God is always there within you, groaning with words that cannot be expressed. He's there present before the Father, interceding so that your promise is fulfilled. It's never away from God's attention. Amen. So how does this spiritual growth happen? How do we do it? What do we do? Firstly, we need to learn to wait and rely on God, not ourselves. He said it, he has to do it. It's not your responsibility. When God said he'd fill this place, he didn't say you would do it, he said he would do it. Now we need to walk, as Daniel has been saying, with the Spirit, and the Spirit of God will give you an idea. And you'll say, do this, do that. But we won't be running around like headless chickens, getting into futile programs. God wants us to be purposeful and full of the Spirit and listening to the Spirit, relying on the Spirit, waiting for the Spirit, and not trying to do it and force it ourselves. Secondly, we need to shift our focus from what we see or don't see naturally and get it on to what God has said. We need to focus on the promise, not the circumstances. When we focus on the promise, this is the crux of it all. When you focus on the promise, you will be filled with peace. And when we get to that point, then Romans 16, verse 20 comes into play. And the God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. God wants us in absolute peace while we're waiting. He does not want us agitated or frustrated or anxious or fearful. They are all those things give the devil power to work against us. That's why it's crucial we do not get into negative attitudes. We wait patiently, expectantly, joyfully, and be filled with his peace. And we won't be filled with peace if we keep looking around. We'll only be filled with peace as we get this word ever before our eyes. Don't look anywhere else other than what God has said. It is written, it is written, it is written. That's all you need to tell the devil. God said, God said, God said, and that's the final word on it. Amen? I'm not getting into arguments. Because when I do that, the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet. And I know Andrew has experienced that in the business. God gave him that verse. And when he put it into action, immediately the situation was resolved. God came in. But when we get into peace, that says to God, I've let go of it. I'm trusting you now. And God immediately takes it up and the devil is put out of the picture. Amen? Let God know that you're not handling it. You've handed it over to him. You're at peace. You're rejoicing. God is dealing with the problem then. Because while ever we're dealing with it, God's not doing anything. Heaven is silent. So when we step out the way, get out the frame, give it to God, woo, the devil's out, and we're moving. We're moving. We're moving. Amen. Romans 8 and verse 6 says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what God wants us to be, spiritually minded. And this is being spiritually minded, focusing on the Spirit of God and what God says. Oh, while I was preparing this, I was thinking about natural responses. And you know, Abraham had the natural response to God's promise. At 75 years old, God said to him, you're going to have a son. And your descendants are going to be like the sand of the seashore and the stars in the heaven, too numerous to count. And so he thought he'd give God a helping hand. He did that. He created an absolute mess. And we're still living through it today. And that delayed the promise by 25 years. It was 100 years old when, well, he was 99 years old when it says in the Message Bible in Romans 4 and verse 20 that finally Abraham plunged into the promise and came up strong. In other words, he quit trying to do anything. He plunged into what God said and said, I abandon everything, God. I'm just focusing what you say, and that's all I need to know. And at that point, 12 months later, Isaac was born. Hey, are we getting the message here? The message. Amen. Wrong attitude. I was thinking about the Israelites. What did they do all the time that they were going in the wilderness? They were moaning and complaining. They were negative. All the time they were in the wilderness. And what happened to them? They went round in circles. Let that be a lesson to us. No moaning, no complaining, no negative attitudes, no worry, no anxiety, no stress, no frustration, no fear. They're all negative things. And every one of those will give the devil power to work against you and delay what God is trying to do. Now, am I going to give him any ammunition? I am not. I'm going to give God everything to work with. They went round in circles. I refuse to go round in circles, but I will wait patiently and joyfully, because my God sees me and he knows exactly what he's doing. I just need to read a few verses here just to drive home that what God is saying our attitude needs to be. Don't look them up because of the message and they won't mean anything in your version. Psalm 37 verse 8 says, bridle your anger, trash your wrath and cool your pipes. Amen? Do we understand that language? I do. Cool your pipes. It only makes things worse. Uh-oh. Bridle your anger, trash your wrath, cool your pipes. It only makes things worse. Why? Because you're giving power to the devil to work against you. Psalm 34 and verse 9 says, if you want God, if you want the best, are you listening, Noah? If you want the best, worship God. Because worship opens the door to all his goodness. Woo! Amen. Worship opens the door to all God's goodness. Every good thing he's got for you, worship will open the door. He inhabits the praises of his people. He comes onto the scene and works for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, cast all your care onto God, for he cares for you. Philippians 4 and verse 5 says, celebrate God all day, every day. Get excited. Get expectant. Get pregnant, Lisa. Get pregnant with the power of God. Amen. And the vision that God has given you. And go for it. Don't look back. Look forward. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 says, don't fret, don't worry. Instead of worrying, pray. 1 Thessalonians verse 5, verses 16 to 18 says, I love this, be cheerful, no matter what happens. Pray all the time. Thank God, no matter what. Wow, is that a challenge? I think it is. Be cheerful, no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God, no matter what happens. And verse 24 of that same chapter says, the one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Wait for him. Wait for him. Wait for him. Amen? And James 1. Ooh, this is an ouch one, this is. James 1. Verses 2 to 4. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed and not deficient in any way. That's the process. That's why we have to wait, because we're becoming mature. God wants you well developed, mature, and lacking nothing. But it only comes by waiting, and waiting expectantly and patiently on God. I love what he said to Joshua. And he reminded me of this last week. I was getting edgy about something. And God said to me, what have you written in your notes? Oh, all right. Joshua, keep my word ever before you. Don't deviate from it. Then you'll get to where you're going. Haven't I commanded you? It's not an option. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, because I'm with you every step of the way. Amen. I command you, and that's what God said to me last week, I command you to be strong and courageous. Stop wimping, stop sniveling, stop getting upset. I've told you, be strong. I like what Andrew says. Get a brush up your back. Be strong and courageous. You know, that's something that's lacking these days. Strong and courageous. God's saying to you, you've got me inside of you. I'm with you all the way. The Spirit of God's talking to you. I'm doing the work. You're not. All I'm asking you to do is stand. Can you manage it? I think I can. I'm sure I can be strong and courageous. You can when you've got a mighty God that nothing is impossible with and that keeps his promises. Amen. It's not our responsibility to fulfil God's plan for us. All you need to know is what's his plan for you, and get on the programme with him. Let him do it. God said he will do it. But God requires us to settle down in complete and utter dependence on him. Stop trying to work it yourself. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop looking at it. Look at what God says. That's the only thing you need to know. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. John 16 and verse 33 says, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. He says, here on earth you will have many, cheer up, many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. So I think we need to make a decision. It's got to be a lifestyle of waiting patiently and confidently and expectantly for God, and in the process rejoicing, getting excited, thanking him no matter what. These things have to be lifestyle for us, because the challenges are going to keep coming. I haven't got 69 years old and know that there's only one challenge. There's lots and lots and lots of challenges. You get through one and you bang, you're in another. So we need to make it lifestyle. And the choice is ours. I was reading a book of David Hathaway, the 3 monthly magazine, and he was talking about the day of prayer that they had in London for the nation because of the divisions that are in the nation due to Brexit. And Colin Urquhart was there, and he was praying, and he was saying, Lord, help us in this crisis. And God spoke back to him, and he said, what crisis? He said, heaven's not in crisis. I'm not in crisis. And if you trust me, you won't be in crisis either. And I thought, ooh, wow, ouch. Yes, heaven's not in crisis. God's not in crisis. You won't be if you trust him either. And God gave him a scripture from Isaiah, and he said, the men may put the votes in, but I have the final decision. I know what I'm doing. It's my plan that will prevail, no man's. So sit back and relax and enjoy the ride, because I'm in charge. Trust me. So I just want to finish with this. God has given us a free will, the power of choice. He said to Joshua, choose you this day who you will serve. And God said to me, all right, Grace, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve your own way? Or are you going to serve my way? Your way empowers the devil. It causes delays. It causes stress. It causes frustration, anxiety, and ultimately it'll cause ill health. Or do you want my way, the way of peace and joy? What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what he wants us to be living. He wants us to be spiritually minded, living in the spirit realm. And when we do that, the peace and the joy and the matters, the challenges that come across our way will be resolved, I think, far quicker, because we're already formed and mature and well developed. We're ready for the challenge. Praise God.